Okay, please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll be here to start and then into the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. It takes great skill to say the word Thessalonians, don't you think? The Apostle Paul says this in verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. So I'm kind of stuck on this verse for the last few weeks. I think we talked about here in church last week, but I've been stuck on it longer than that. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church. In other words, he's writing it to you and me. This isn't a historical document. This isn't, that has to do with a time and place in history. He's writing to the church. And we are the church. So he's writing this to you and me. And the gist of what he's saying is that he's longing for us to live up to the life God has given us. He's longing that we live up to the calling that we have, live worthy of it. God has purchased us. How did he do that? Through Jesus' shed blood and death on the cross. It wasn't cheap. You didn't come cheaply. You weren't a bargain. Okay? It cost God the life of his son to purchase your life. And he's not only purchased us, he set us free. He set us free. He didn't just take us out and of the grave. He set us free, right? And that is if you've surrendered your life to him. If you've given him your life and you've received his salvation by faith in his work on the cross. If you're still trying to do it yourself, you ain't there. And spoiler alert, you'll never get there. It's impossible. Impossible. It's like you're trying to swim across the Atlantic Ocean saying, I'm good. And Jesus is there in the motorboat going, get in the boat. This ain't going to end well. By the way, there's some interesting fins in the water. Okay? And yeah, so we've received, he's not only purchased us and set us free, he's you're restored. He's restored you. He doesn't just take you out of your situation and leave you. He restores you. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Start living like it. Live up to the calling that he has on your life. He has a calling on every one of our lives. Calling isn't for clergy. Calling is for every single human being. He has a purpose and a plan for you. Live up to it. And you're a new version of your old self. You're a new version of your old self with the newfound ability to live a beautiful life filled with love. Life is fantastic. Life is beautiful. No matter what we go through, life is wonderful. That's Paul's theme here. He's praying that we would allow God to continue the process of restoration and growth in our new born-again lives. It didn't end when you got saved. If you're saved, if you gave your life to Christ, that's great. How many know that when you're born in the hospital, oh, look at that, you're born. We'll see ya. It's like, no, there's a whole bunch of growth and there's a whole bunch of actual life and really good things. I always say, can you imagine if you took the baby around the maternity ward and the little swaddling and just said, you are going to love retirement. When you, let's see, you're just born now, so I think you'll have to be 86 before you can start collecting. If you're lucky, oh wait, 95, I just saw the news, 95. You gotta be 95 before you can start collecting. That's the evangelical church in America. It's like, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That's retirement. Don't you want to tell that baby, there's a heck of a life here on earth. And I can't wait till you're old enough to experience the beauty and the wonders of love and the wonders of companionship and the wonders of art and music and nature. And the Apostle Paul is saying that there's a beautiful life. That's his theme, right? And you know what you were before you got saved? You were a barn find. You were a barn find. You know what that is? Do you know what a barn find is? A barn find. You'll see this on eBay or Craigslist or Marketplace. It's an item, usually a car, and it's discovered sitting, forgotten in a barn on somebody's property. The property owner doesn't realize what they have. They don't care. It's just this old car. Hey, it was my nephew's car. He went in the service and he never came back. And it's just sitting out there. I hate to get rid of it. It's just sitting out there. Or it was Uncle Joe, Grandpa's car, and Grandpa's gone. It's just sitting out there. And you'll see this when in these listings. Barn find, barn find. It means that you have no idea what you've got here. This isn't a piece of junk sitting in the barn. Okay? And the property owner never realized the car's value. And especially the value of when it's restored. There's two values, isn't there? There's a value for when you purchase it as a pile of junk, and there's a value when it's restored to the way it was supposed to be. And the owner and his family saw a junk car. People who know better see a little fortune sitting there. Hey, isn't that your story? Isn't that your story? I'll bet it is, because life without knowing God through Jesus is a barn life. It's dirty, it's dull, and it's boring. And yet the potential for a great life is there. And you can imagine someone buying that car, rescuing it from the barn, and they take it and they put it in their backyard. And it sits out in the rain and the snow, and the sun beats on it, and the birds and the squirrels enjoy it. It's purchased, right? It's been set free from the barn. What a life for that car. It's not what that car was designed to do, right? Come on, this baby was made to run. It was made to turn heads. It was meant to bring enjoyment and a smile everywhere it goes. And so were you. And so were you. Apostle Paul says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God would make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness, and your every deed prompted by faith. Paul says to you and me, now live worthy of your calling. You were made to not only dream of doing good things for God. We all dream of doing great things for God. Paul says, no. Bring to fruition your every desire. That's what? Prompted by faith. Your faith in God says, I wish I could do this. I wish I could lead more people to the Lord. I wish. Well, if God's putting it on your heart, pray that God gives you the power to do it, to restore in you that ability to do it. In other words, if God has nudged you in the Spirit to grow in goodness personally or to do something to help others, pray and then get out of your barn and do it. Right? You were made for this. You were made for this. Like that car. That car didn't come off the assembly line to sit in a barn. Came off the assembly line to burn rubber. So were you. You were saved in order for you to do the good works that he has for you. You were made to soar, not to sit on a perch, right? Your whole life. Problem is, in the modern church in America, we like to sit. We love to sit. We're more like parrots than eagles. You know the difference? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Parrots? Yeah, parrots. There's a parrot. we're content to sit on our evangelical perches, and we repeat things. We repeat the religious words, don't we? God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Like parrots. Is any of that true? It's absolutely true. But come on. Really? We can blab out scripture verses. We can quote even where they are. But we don't live them. We don't even try to live them. And we become religious words and catchphrases. And we squawk a lot about stuff, but we really don't even comprehend the scriptures or the slogans that we parrot. By the way, neither do parrots. Parrots repeat things with no comprehension whatsoever, right? They whistle at guys, pretty guy, pretty girl, they have no clue, right? It's just things they've been taught. And they chatter a lot too, these parrots. What would balance things out in today's church would be to have more people that were like eagles instead of parrots. Eagles don't sit on perches waiting to be entertained, right? People now in the church in America, it's entertainment in a lot of places, literally. And believe me, I run in the pastor's circle and they're like, we got to do this or we're going to lose people. We got to get a new sound system. We got to get bigger screens. We got to get lights. We're going to need lights. We're going to need all this stuff. It's entertainment. But eagles don't wait to be entertained. They soar up and out to new heights and places of the kingdom of God. They leave the nest and they go out and do things and then they return and they report on their findings before they leave the nest again for another adventure. Parrot people are different than eagle people. They're much different. The eagles think, the parrots don't. Parrots just mindlessly repeat. The parrots like to stay in the same cage and they pick over the same things, the same pan full of seeds, and they listen to the same words over and over until they can say them with ease. You and I can't remember the last time you saw a parrot flying around. They're sitting there. Parrots like the predictable. They don't like surprises. Parrots like the secure. Parrots like the affirmation of other parrots. They like to be around other birds of the feather. Not eagles. Eagles aren't like that. There's nothing predictable about an eagle. They're thinkers. They love to think. It's no accident that they're the national bird. Isn't it amazing? Benjamin Franklin didn't pick parrots. Isn't it amazing? There's no sports teams named the Parrots yet. Maybe Cleveland one of these days. But the parrots like the affirmation from other parrots. They like other parrots telling them how good they are and how good they can mimic. But the eagles, there's nothing predictable. They're thinkers. They love to think. They're alone in a way that they're alive in a way that compels them to search and to discover more and to learn. Eagles have courage. Eagles have conviction. Eagles are risk takers. They're unafraid. They're unafraid to seek the truth. They're not satisfied with the small dish of picked over foods. Eagles take risks both in flight and in the way they search for their food. And their rewards are huge. They get fantastic fresh meals instead of dried seeds sitting on a perch. Parrots say, entertain me. I'm here. Entertain me. Eagles say, challenge me. Make me think. Make me think. Put me to a task. Because we were saved to soar, and our minds and our brains are born again too. We forget that, right? we think we're born again. Oh, good. All those temptations are gone. Yeah, that's true. Maybe, maybe not. But your brain is born again. We don't check our brain at the door. We challenge. We question. We want answers. We ask God for answers. We ask each other for answers. We don't just shrug our shoulders and just half believe things and say, well, I don't know. Everyone else seems to believe it. Right? That's what parrots do. We're to feed our brains, not with the moldy seed of politics or garbage TV or whatever it is, our phones, but with the wild and fresh-caught truth of God's Word, and to soar into service as we serve others as we serve Him. You're a barn find. You're an eagle in waiting. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about you. He's talking about you in this. Romans chapter 6. Let this encourage you off your perch. Romans chapter 6, 1 to 14. Apostle Paul says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Just let that sink in for a second. We hear that all the time. There'll be some person in a neighbor or a family member who is just suffering terribly in physical ailments and disease. And then finally they die. And we say, well, you know what? They're not suffering anymore. And that's true. You are suffering from sin. The worst disease you could have. And when you died with Christ, that died too. You're not suffering anymore from it. We need to grasp these things and not just say, okay, I sort of understand that, but actually by faith start living like it's true. You have the power to resist sin. You have the power to go out and overcome your fears of serving. You have all these things. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. I invite you to reread that passage over and over and pray about that. Look at verse 13. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. What part of your life have you not given to Christ yet? You gave him your life, but you held some stuff back. You haven't surrendered your whole life There's areas of your life you still haven't surrendered X to Jesus yet. He's waiting for you to do that because X has a hold on you. Whatever it is you don't surrender hasn't died yet, and it still has a total grip on your life. Until you surrender that, until you bring that to the cross, we say it when we leave here, all these things we put on the cross of Christ. Until you do that, it will continue to have a hold on you. It's not dead. You need to kill these things. We need to crucify these things. I invite you to just go over this passage over and over this week and ask yourself and ask the Lord, what does this truth mean for me, for my life? And by the way, God is all about choice. God is pro-choice. Did you know that? I'm not talking about the twisted language of our culture that would call choice talking about abortion. I'm talking about God is all about freedom of choice. He leaves it to you and me and to everybody how you want to live. It's up to you. And if you like being a parrot, stay put on your perch. But do you realize, but if you're an eagle at heart, what are you doing on that perch? And do you realize how badly you are needed in the kingdom of God? Do you realize how out of place you look in that cage? That a follower of Christ, an eagle, is sitting in a cage. Can you imagine? And you go to somebody's house and there's an eagle sitting in a bird cage. You say, what's he doing in there? Are you crazy? Right? Sitting on a perch, picking over tasteless seeds. You don't belong there. And besides, I've never heard anyone yet ask, eagle want a cracker? Right? With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. No exaggeration. We constantly pray for you by name. By name, Lisa and I pray for you. And to the Father for these things that your desires for goodness would be met. And your desire to do every good deed, that he would bring it to fruition. If you look, it's God who does it. We have to ask him. I'll ask you this morning, if any of this has resonated with you, we invite you to come forward. Pastor Lisa and I would love to just pray with you and just pray that prayer right there, that you would receive his power to bring to fruition these godly desires that he has placed in your heart. You don't have to tell us what it is. But come now, eagles, and let us pray for you. I'm going to turn off the recording because prayer time.